CliffCentral.com. The following business conversation is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Hi, Dave from A1 Builders in Pretoria.
Yeah.
It's Dan. I found your number on the internet and I need you to build me a room, the purpose of which I cannot disclose.
What?
Fine. It's a sunroom. Can you start immediately?
It's 4 a.m.
I'm sure it's 4 a.m. somewhere, Dave, but here in SA, it's 10.
You mean USA?
There's more than one Pretoria out there. For the quickest and most efficient way to find what you're looking for, start your search with yellowpages.co.za or download the app. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.
Small, medium business conversation today, but very much around leadership. Why being a leader is more important than being the boss. Sounds simple, but there's a lot behind that. Much more than meets the eye. And as usual, we've got Richard Angus. Hi, Richard.
How's it, Adrian? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Last week you did tenders and a couple of eye-opening principles came out there.
Yeah, some really scary things about the whole principle, I guess, of, well, are you actually qualified to accept a tender?
Yeah.
You know, can you be sued for the multi-millions that they're looking for? Interesting stuff.
Very interesting. So download that podcast and you will learn a great deal. Richard sat in this chair. I was in the bush. So enjoy that one. But today, very, very specific conversation around starting to think like a leader when you run a small business. With us is Tracy Webster. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
I met Tracy last week, and she's had a very interesting life. She was the executive director of African Leadership Institute, and she's a Tutu Fellow. That means a lot, just the name already, but you don't just get that, I don't know, you don't just buy it, do you?
No.
You go through a whole process. She was also the head of Virgin Unite. Is that's what it's called?
Virgin Unite, and then specifically I was the CEO of the Branson Center of Entrepreneurship.
So yeah, so that's quite well known.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wrestled with those young entrepreneurs as they build their businesses.
For a couple of years. So you were very involved and led that initiative, Branson Center of Entrepreneurship. You also started Starfish, and you've been involved in quite a few initiatives. So very, very, it's an honor to have you with us. I think you've seen small business owners start and migrate to the different levels that they need to move to.
Absolutely. It was a privilege to work with some of those young leaders and those young entrepreneurs. And I, having watched it, say that some of the bravest people walking the planet are entrepreneurs, that's for sure.
Especially startup ones, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Startup ones who don't have a rich dad that they can fall back on, or a corporate job that they can fall back on. It's brave.
It's brave, and I think you witness unbelievable tenacity and grit at a level that I've never seen before. But it's inspiring.
African Leadership Institute, what's that about? Give us a few seconds on that.
So the African Leadership Institute was set up to really come alongside leaders mid-career to really equip them and give them the opportunity to self-reflect around their leadership styles and what they need to be doing to take them forward as they really get into high positions of power. And the Archbishop Desmond Tutu Leadership Fellowship is the flagship program, where it selects 20 leaders across the African continent in various different sectors, all sectors, whether it's entrepreneurs, whether it's political leaders, and you
civic
go through
or whatever.
Yeah, you go through an intense leadership experiential fellowship program for 6 months, and you have to look at the sides of you that you don't necessarily want to look up. I think they're very good at showing you. They get you to look in the mirror and see your blind spots, and I think that's critical for leaders to be able to accept that.
And when you graduate there, you become a Tutu Fellow?
Yes.
There's how many? About 200 Tutu Fellows?
Yes, there's 220 Tutu Fellows across the continent. We've got one running for president of Tanzania. One Tutu Fellow has been nominated as a Nobel Peace Prize. So it just gives you an idea of the type of people that have gone on to find themselves in those positions of real responsibility as a leader.
There are people with a conscience. They are inspired to make a difference. You are nominated by a Tutu Fellow, and then you go through a whole selection process before you go on that program.
Yes.
Where you then eventually graduate and you can become a Tutu Fellow.
That's correct. And we have other people that nominate as well, but the Tutu Fellows also get involved in nominating their peers. Yeah.
All right, so here you are. You've been an entrepreneur in a sense yourself. You've been involved in initiatives that make a real difference in the country. We won't go into all of that. You've been involved in serious leadership development. You yourself have gone on a journey, a really fascinating journey. We had a long conversation on last week, you and I. Found yourself in various ways. But you've also seen, especially your period there, let's say, at the Richard Branson Entrepreneurial, what school?
Center.
You've seen small entrepreneurs go on this journey that we're going to talk about today. And what is the journey? It's about when you're a small business owner, you think you're a boss, and you've got to migrate to becoming a leader. So my first question to each of you here in the studio, that's Louis, Richard, and Tracy, is, and it's a simple one, but your brief views to kick off with, why is being a leader more important than being a boss in your small business? Who's going to start? Richard?
Well, Aaron, I think, you know, for me, one of the key things is, as a leader, I think the key thing that you're able to understand is the principle that people drive things in life. And I've always said that look after the people first. They will then look after the organization, and then you will have organizational success. Mm-hmm. And I think often as a small business owner, you get kind of wrapped into this thing called your business. So you start focusing on, you know, all the elements of the business. You're kind of worrying about your customers. You're worrying about your delivery of your products and your pricing. And you're trying to get, you know, your finances right, get this right, get that right. And and your people, they're there and they're part of your core team, but you kind of just expect them to connect with you and connect with the issues that you're looking at as a business owner. And you expect them to have the same vision as you and the same, let's call it, connectedness with the stuff that your business is about. And you focus on the stuff of your business. And you that consumes you, and you're a startup, so that's where your focus goes, and it's happening and it's happening and it's happening. And before you know it, you rub the sleep out of your eyes one morning when you've had no sleep, and you realize that the people you thought were on the journey with you aren't actually in the room anymore. And they may be there physically, but their hearts and their souls aren't actually there. They may bring their body and their mind to the workplace, but their soul and their heart has just left the room.
Okay.
Because you've lost them along the way. And if you don't care for those people along the journey, they're as important as all the other stuff that you've got going on in your small business and in your startup. And in fact, my proffering would be that they are more important than all of that put together.
So part of what I hear you say is you care about your little business that you started. And eventually that caring must shift from that to the people. We'll talk about that more. Tracy, why is being a leader more important than being the boss?
I would reiterate what you've just said. I think growing people is absolutely critical. And I think there's a real shift that has to come from being the person that founded it and started it and is passionate about it, and you typically play to all of your strengths. But you suddenly have to step back and go, hang on, I'm not good at everything. I need to get those people in that are really good at the things that I don't enjoy doing and that I'm not good at doing. And I need to quickly build a team to ensure that we deliver effectively. And you have to learn to let go. And I think there's that analogy of sort of birthing the baby, but you kind of need a midwife to hold your hand and really birthing it properly. So just be aware of that. And as we all know, children start growing. They're toddlers. They need to go to school. They need other input. You're not going to be the person that has all of the knowledge all of the time. And I think there comes a huge amount of humility to be able to accept that you're not the be-all and end-all to this business. You're not the only life source that's going to keep it going. So find those other people that have a common passion and a common purpose, because I think you need to ensure that you all have the same values and you're all interested in the same outcomes of the business. But you have to let go of control. And people aren't going to do it your way. That's a reality. But it doesn't mean to say that they're wrong or they're not doing it properly. They're just doing it differently. And I think it requires a huge shift for you just to step back and to allow people. Also, people are going to make mistakes, because you know what? As the business owner yourself and the person that birthed it, you make mistakes all the time. So you've got to let go a little bit to let it live and to grow. And I think I've seen this over and over again. You can't be, you know, I'll give you one quick example.
Okay, before we get to the example, we want examples. Louis, your comment on that question.
To summarize, the quality of what both Richard and Tracy have said is that the difference really is a gentleman's power.
Just hold on, Louis. We're not capturing that nicely now. I don't know which.
Sure.
Go for it.
The difference is...
Start right from the start.
Okay. I was just saying, building on the excellent comments of both Richard and Tracy, to give an essence explanation of the difference is, a boss is the mindset about power over, and a leader is a mindset of power with. So although Tracy mentioned of letting go of certain things, actually it's not letting go of power, it's creating power to do the positive thing.
Agreed.
So that's the difference between the boss mindset and the leader mindset.
All right, so power with my business, my products, and you know, whatever the structures are. But that changes to be, that's power over. It changes to power with your people, with your team.
Maybe the concept of power through.
Yeah, and then through comes in, the word through. I'm going to touch on that now. For me, we're not just talking about being the boss or the leader today. It's a different, there's more behind it. This is a transition from, yes, small, medium enterprise thinking to CEO thinking. We've got to start thinking more professionally and think perhaps like a professional CEO. You wonder how the Raymond Ackermans and the Donald Gordons, you know, how they actually took their businesses from kind of a startup in some cases to something massive. And they migrated through all of this. It's also about expert thinking. I'm an expert in this product or, you know, this little business, to leadership thinking. Okay, and there's a shift there, being an expert thinker to being a person who thinks about leadership. SME owners get to that point of needing to migrate their company from informal and chaotic to professionally led by a team, and I'll say this slowly, by a team of empowering leaders assisted by good management systems and tools. And I know the gentleman who runs the business show after this also, if I'm not mistaken, you might even know him when he comes in at the end of our leadership show, he took his little business to the Branson Center. And that's what I pick up is that encouragement to put systems in place and processes and really taking your business through that journey. That seemed to have happened for him. So that's, let me read that quickly and then give your comments on it. So, SME owners get to that point of needing to migrate their company from informal and chaotic to professionally led by a team of empowering leaders assisted by good management systems and tools. All right, Richard, your comment on that.
Well, Adrian, maybe I can refer here to examples we've seen in the finance team and the work we do in the finance space.
And we come to your example, Tracy, as well.
You know, often people have people doing things like their transactional accounting for them, and they'll say to me, yes, I've got an accountant or I've got a bookkeeper and they do their books. And I say, okay, so can you answer the following questions for me? Can you tell me, where does your profit actually come from? How do you generate your cash flow? What do you spend on, and how variable is that spend? And they'll look at me and they'll go, no, I can't actually answer any of that. And I'll go, well, you then need some help in the next stage of your financial progression, being financial management, not just doing bookkeeping, but actually knowing and managing your finances of your company a little better. Now, you don't need a financial manager when you're running it on your own and it's a startup. But you do need to know when's the right time to ask for that next stage of help.
Yeah.
And to your point of a leader has to know that intuitively, they have a feel for their business to go, okay, it's now time for that next step. And often those steps happen when people start asking questions. So the bank's asking questions, or a fund is asking questions, or somebody else in the team is asking the questions.
Then you go and build the structure to be able to supply the question.
Yeah, and you need to, as a leader, be comfortable to say, well, I don't have to give all the answers. I need to bring in a professional, whoever it may be, to help us answer these questions as a team. And in fact, the best leaders are those that recognize that they can't be everything to everybody all the time, and saying, okay, I need a finance professional, I need a legal professional, I need a marketing professional, I need a digital online marketing expert, I need this, I need that. That's true leadership, knowing when to stop with the self conversation and say others need to participate. And I think often, you know, in that transition from boss to leader, knowing how to lead the organization from a context perspective and bring in those professionals and the people that you need and at different levels to support you, and, you know, okay, I need this type of person or that type of person. And the flip side of that bringing in is you don't take a laundry list and say, okay, we're a bigger company. We're now turning over X million rand. So we need an HR person, a marketing person, a this person, a that person. And here's my tech list that I got out of some MBA book of functions. And so now my organization is a organization of 40 people, and I've got 10 people in, let's call it head office, doing all these core functions because I'm now a business. You know, and I've seen a few organizations that have had that challenge. Where,
so very technically go through the motion.
Yeah, they don't have that intuitive feel. And so the people leading, or the guys, the bosses in this analogy, would just go, oh, well, tick the box. It's not about ticking boxes. It's about understanding.
So it's a feel. Science. It's a science.
Feel.
I mean, there's almost a science of the expertise of working on your product or service at one stage, and then suddenly it shifts to needing to work on the business.
Mm.
Not just in the business, but on the business.
Yeah.
So let me divorce myself and say, but I'm still the one who knows the product. I'm still the one who can sell it best. But I've got to change my expertise to working on this thing called a business. What does the business need? Tracy, you have a good example of, I don't know, a leader that's gone through this.
Sure. So, and this was my experience at the Branson Center of Entrepreneurship, that this very talented fashion designer that was doing, incredible work, highly talented, and suddenly his business went through a growth phase. So he didn't have two or three people that were kind of sewing his garments. He suddenly had 20 people. Suddenly he was on London Fashion Week. The next minute he had opened a shop in Maponya Mall, etc. And I remember I was taking, he was going to be interviewed by a TV show. And when we got there, he wasn't around. And I was like, well, where is he? This is critical. This is, you can't be late for
it's
television.
Happening. Yeah.
It's live.
And somebody said to me, well, he's just run out because somebody's machine's blade was blunt and he had to go and find the part. And I'm like, why are you still doing that? That's not what you should be doing anymore. You shouldn't be fixing the two machines. There are 20 machines here. You need to have a shop steward. You need to have somebody that's overseeing all of that. You can't be doing that anymore. You've got a shop to worry about. You've got this. And it was so hard for him to let go, to be able to know that somebody is going to be running that side. And the more I watch this unfold, you see, a leader has to be a good listener. And often they don't see when they're getting into deep water. And so the other thing that started happening, because he was so hands-on in that production line, was that he wasn't getting to the design work, which really was his passion and his talent. Mm. So what you had in his shop is last season's things sitting on the shelves. Now, if you're not turning over a new range every season, people get tired and they start asking questions. And how are you going to move that stock off the shelf?
Mm.
And so we're kind of just saying you've got to go through that phase now to really step out of the hands-on day-to-day of the business. Yes, you are the fashion designer and you need to keep your eye on turning over that fashion, but you need to take a step back and go, what do I need to put in place so that my business continues faster and better than I could, so I can focus on the area that I'm passionate about and keep an eye on all of these balls that I've got going. And yeah, he didn't listen. He got into deep water.
But often that those decisions are not made because the guy ticks over in his mind, it'll cost me so much. It's all a cost thing rather than the leadership perspective, of moving the business. And it's all about movement, and I want to get to that. Richard, quickly.
Can I just ask a question about that in that example? Because one of the things I've observed is sometimes people, they need to give up the let's go and sharpen the saw, on the table. And what often happens is it's almost like they step back and they leave a vacuum in the business.
Yes. So mentoring up and creating and nurturing talent all the time. It goes back to what you said about people. I've got to be nurturing, trusting, empowering, giving them a little bit, always having an open door. You've still got to be involved, but not hands-on all the time, at a different level.
And almost, and that's my point about lead and focus on the people.
That's it.
So enable the people rather than, you're now responsible for getting that machine part. I don't tell you where I get it from.
Yeah.
I don't tell you how I know to when to get it. I don't tell you where you go to learn about preventative maintenance. That's not your job. I'm the leader, so I just step back and good luck to you and hope that you figure it out. And if you don't, there's that exit sign on the door over there, and that's where you'll be going. And I think often that happens in smaller businesses is that you get these extremes. Somebody who's so hands-on that nobody else can basically move without solving.
Yeah, throttles it.
And then you get the, let me call it, the absent leader who just steps away and goes, well, now the business is running.
It's your job. Yeah.
Figure it out. I did.
So there's a middle part there.
You've got to nurture and grow and invest.
But that's not natural. It's not a natural skill for a small business owner, unless he or she maybe comes from a big corporate environment, decided to jump to small business. And in the corporate environment, they learned about all these things about mentoring and coaching and so on. But if you just start a small business, and it's not that easy to.
Arden, just quickly. Arden was conducting a movement leadership audit with a top executive of a big organization. And one of the points he mentioned there is about, first of all, about allowing people to do, but the right and that and of the top people, the CEO, to always know what's going on. And this covers Richard's point. So letting go doesn't mean you don't expect accurate reporting and accountability.
Absolutely.
Because that's when this suddenly the leader is away and the damage is done.
Okay, so let me say this to you as a small, medium business owner. And this is theoretical, but practically it's also true. Being a leader is about creating movement. Okay? For you and your small business, it's about moving your business and your people. But the leadership mindset is where it moves from no longer being about you and the business, but about you through others to the business. Okay? And we've said that. It's you through others to the business. And that's an important mindset. Now, the law of movement is simple. It says all movement is governed by the integration of three things. So you can't move your business or your people or the country or whatever unless these three things come together. Motivation, motive, reason, purpose, spark, passion, whatever. Direction, that's your plan, your strategy, where you're going. And structure, resources, systems, procedures, and so on. That's the money part, the building, the computers, whatever. So in an SME, and this is what I find interesting, the owner is motivated, has the direction, the plans in his or her head, and often is the main structure, is the main expert, is the main know-it-all kind of person. Sometimes the owner will have extended structure, may have a PA and one or two salespeople and whatever, but in essence, I am the main structure. So I am the motivation, I'm the direction, and I'm the structure. Becoming a leader simply means you have to extend this law. You now have to motivate others. You have to align and integrate the direction down your structures. And it's the same with structure itself. You have to now align and integrate and build structures that serve the direction and serve the motivation. It's got to support those two. Don't just build structure, Richard, as you said earlier, just because I want structure.
That's expensive.
I put structure in place to serve the direction all the time. It's got to support where we're going with the business. So that's just a point I want to throw in here. You're already creating movement. So you're a leader. It's not about migrating to becoming a leader. It's about realizing I am a leader.
Yeah.
I am creating movement. I now need to action or spark that movement in other people, Richard.
It's interesting. I saw some stats somewhere not too long ago where they did a survey in American institutions, and they found that only 19% of the people inside the organization had a clear understanding of what you would call the motivation in terms of the law of movement, in terms of the purpose and where the organization's going.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of that statistic relative to this conversation. I'm going, if you're trying to transition in your SME, and I don't believe that large organizations and small organizations suffer from they sometimes suffer from different issues, but fundamental issues like only 1 in 5 people actually gets what the motivation or purpose actually is. You know, you kind of have to ask yourself the question. So if I'm an SME of, say, 10 people, does that mean that 2 of my team knows what's going on and why we're doing something, and the other 8 are running around wondering what's next?
Good point.
You know, and you kind of go, well, I can have the right structure in place. I know where I'm going, in my mind, as the boss and as the leader. But do those people in my structure actually get it?
Correct.
And that's an interesting.
And if they don't, they won't create movement.
Exactly.
They just won't create that movement.
Well, you got movement one in five movement, effectively.
Yeah.
But that's why I think communication is absolutely key, because I think so often when you you're in that startup phase, everything's going over in your head. But it's not necessarily coming out of your mouth because you've got so used to doing everything yourself, and it's going around in your head, you know, I need to do that. I need to pick up that call, you know, and you're not. And then as you grow, you've got to be communicating. And I'm a big believer in the weekly meeting and giving every person before the leader stands up to talk, to check in with where everyone is, what they're focusing on and what they think. You need feedback as the leader, because suddenly you're going to realize, oh, wow, is that what everyone's thinking? It's not what's in my head.
The simple thing, weekly stand-up meeting.
That old saying of remember, what people see you doing speaks so loudly they can't hear a word you're saying. So they're watching you as the leader.
Yeah.
And if they're not getting this consistent message, well,
exactly.
No wonder.
Especially these days when you're working open plan.
So, honestly, we need more conversation around this principle, because this is the challenge that I think small business owners face. If they get through that horrible statistic of 1 in 10 businesses fail or whatever in the next 18 months or 2 years, then the next challenge is this. Sometimes, you know, it's just to migrate and start thinking bigger and think like a leader. And ownership, I see business owners that have started a business and taken it to a medium size. And even bigger sometimes, they struggle with the level of ownership they and their brothers or the co-founders have for this business. So they would work day and night and sacrifice their families and their lives and their health to make this business work. But the people I employ, they just don't have that level of ownership. That's a big, big thing that they struggle with. And we've got to talk about that more in the future.
Yep.
Final message to small business owners who have to migrate from being a boss to being a leader, or thinking more like a CEO. Tracy, a final principle you want to leave with them. What must they do?
I think it's when you migrate from doing absolutely everything all of the time, stop, reflect on what you're passionate about, because I think there are often signs coming your way where you're feeling a little bit burnt out, a little bit exhausted, and potentially you're spending time in an area that you're not passionate about and you're not good at. The time is now to start increasing and growing your business. And so then be very key around where do you want to, you know, what are your strengths and what is your skill set? And start looking to employ the people that are passionate and have a very particular skill set in the areas where you don't want to play, to take some of that burden off your shoulders, and then to focus on developing your people and giving them a sense that this is a shared enterprise, that we're in this together. What pieces of the vision do they feel they want to carry on
and then communicate.
Huge.
Our time is almost up. I think of Steve Jobs. I mean, he focused on what he was good at, didn't he? Even at that
level. And Richard Branson, he focused on what he's good at. Yeah.
Okay, Richard, final word quickly.
Yeah, I would just say that people must, and it's interesting you said the word stop and think about it. I think often we just run at this so hard that we don't take time to sharpen the saw and think about what we're doing. So my advice would be stop, think, plan, then do.
Even if you're running an 80-hour week. Louis, fine? Happy?
Happy, yes.
Thank you so much, folks. Tracy, you're staying on for our leadership show. Thank you so much.
You.
We have a woman voice in there. But next up, we're going to talk about the leadership well-being and being a toxic leader. Burnout. You know, we're going to talk really intensely for the whole hour around these principles. So do stay tuned. It's something a lot of leaders struggle with. This conversation was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to grow your business.
Hey, Ivan Cleaners, Worcester. Conrad speaking.
Hi, Conrad. This is Chad from the Glen Gables Hotel in Worcester. We're looking for a new cleaning service. I found your number on the internet. Would you be interested?
Yeah, Flip, great. Where are your offices?
Well, on the corner of Alaho and Aldo, across from the Beef Cack and Tag Shack.
Cack and what?
There's more than one Worcester out there. Reach a more relevant audience by advertising with the Yellow Pages. Visit yellowpages.co.za and get listed online with South Africa's most trusted business directory. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.
CliffCentral.com